الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Allah تبارك وتعالى has blessed us with this real great honorable month of Ramadan, and really may Allah make it that we were in anticipation of this month long before, and if not, may Allah give us that fervor for this month that we remain in anticipation for it. And amongst the anticipation for this month, one dua Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make from the month of Rajab already. That means about 3 months before time. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was eagerly awaiting for the barakat of Rajab and Sha'ban, and then to reach Ramadan. May Allah put us also in that we also, with great eagerness, we wait for this month. As we have mentioned many times, Buzurgs of the past, from the day of Eid already, they are waiting for next year's Ramadan. For those who have found what the value of this month is, it's only naturally that they will wait again for the next month. When Khaja Aziz al-Hasan Sahib Majzoob rahmatullah alayhi made his first time his tahajjud namaz in the Khanqah of Thana Bhawan, and the enjoyment that he got from there, he says, Subah hi se intizar sham hai. From the morning, I'm already waiting for the time of tahajjud again. That what enjoyment he got in tahajjud. So may Allah bless us with that enjoyment in this month of Ramadan, that we eagerly wait for the next Ramadan again. Then we find another very precious dua, which we should not become unmindful of also throughout Ramadan. And that is a dua which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam made. Allahumma sallimna li Ramadan. Wasallim Ramadan lana. Wasallimhu lana mutaqabbala. O Allah, sallimna li Ramadan. Keep us safe and keep us in good spirits, in good health, in good conditions for the month of Ramadan. Because if a person, how many people had anticipation of the month, or during the month also, anything can happen to a person. And then now, what he wanted, his normal, he had a very nice program, getting up early for tahajjud, making his tahajjud, tilawat, dua, zikr, etc., all the programs. But now, if something happens, and you cannot manage that, and how it upsets you, and you feel so uncomfortable with that. So this dua is very important. And each one of us should check on ourselves whether we are making this dua. If not, then perhaps that is the reason we are now, some problems we have to face, whether we have to go to hospitals, whether some work came out, whether somebody met up with an accident, may Allah protect us all, somebody close, all these things will disturb our whole program. So therefore, this dua, we should keep on making it, and when we do remember, try and remind others also that we should not become unmindful of this dua. Sallimna li Ramadan, O Allah, keep the peaceful, keep our health, keep our conditions well for the month of Ramadan, and right through for the whole of Ramadan. And inshallah, if we get that, by the barakat of that, this will last, carry us for the rest of the 11 months also, and we can build further for the next month. Wasallim Ramadana lana. Wasallim Ramadana li. And O Allah, make Ramadan, make it also what peace and ease and comfort for me. That in me also there must be no problems, and in Ramadan also. Ramadan, the environment of Ramadan, whether it is at home, many places, unfortunately, what arguments start in Ramadan. And they should start talking of divorce already in the month of Ramadan. And then they are down on the necks of the muftis for answers. Muftis are also busy in their ibadat in the month of Ramadan. They also want to devote themselves to Allah Ta'ala. Many are in i'tikaf, and now with our arguments, when our things, we are enforcing our way on them. So Ramadan must remain peaceful for us. And also, wasallimhu lana mutaqabbala. And for the future, whatever we have acquired, O Allah, let it remain in store. Let it remain in our account for the future. Let us not lose it out. So, in order to maintain this, amongst many other things also, one is that there are rules and regulations and principles, whichever situation we find ourselves in. Though there are no written rules in the house, but there are rules also, how the husband must behave himself, how he must conduct himself, etc., how the wife, the children, if all of us adhere to these rules, then things will go hopefully very smooth and well in the house. Whether it is a business, there are rules and regulations. What time we are supposed to come and start our work? If we come late, we are causing now other people in the department, they cannot function properly. Or then the boss takes off with us also. And then we also become angry, etc., just because one rule was broken. So we have to try and observe all the rules also. In whichever situation it may be, there must be rules and regulation, usools, and they must be observed also. And if they are not observed, then we start having problems. Also with regard to that, at the same time, where rules are not meant to be broken. The rules are meant to be upheld. But we also must understand we are human beings, that there will be the times when rules are broken also, and then what attitude we must have at that time. Don't make the situation worse now. Somebody broke a rule, and now we go and make it even worse with our anger, or with in order to put a be'usuli right, we mustn't go and make another be'usuli. That is also that we are going to make the situation worse also. So therefore, that also we must learn to keep our hearts big also. And all this, who set all our rules for us? Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But how he brought people on the rules, what great sacrifices, what akhlaq he showed, how much he turned himself, he bent himself over in order to accommodate everyone. The one vivid example which we all know, that the masjid is a place of sanctity, of purity, of cleanliness, the highest purity and the highest cleanliness. But when that person comes and he defecates in the masjid, he does his number two in the masjid, how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam handled the situation, that the situation that could have turned so violent. With the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, knowing that the place of the masjid is a place of great respect and honor. And a Sahabi like Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam handled the situation, that person who committed this terrible and heinous crime becomes a da'i of Islam. And he brings people into the fold of Islam. And how he describes Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma darabani wa ma shatamani. He did not hit me, he did not swear at me, ma zajarani, he was not so harsh and hard on me. Well, how beautifully he explained to me and made me understand. So wherever a situation like that arises, in the home also, and when we adopt this situation, then we might think that we are being too soft and people will take advantage of it. Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was very soft in nature, but firm on his principles also. So very, very soft, Masihul Ummah, very, very soft he was. So one time somebody told Hazrat in Makkah Sharif, that Hazrat, how what you advocate, that we must be so soft, so kind, so tolerant, then everyone will take advantage of us. The wife will sit on our heads, the children will sit on our heads, our workers will sit on our heads, nobody will listen to us, we are being so soft and kind. Unfortunately, many people have got this opinion also, and attitude, until you are not rude in your language, and vulgar in your language, and until you don't swear, you won't get work done. That you say also, in fact, one person told Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayh, when he was invited to his place and he spoke to his workers in a very, very rude way and swearing and commanding them. So Hazrat reprimanded him and told him it should not be that. He said, Hazrat, these people, you won't get a stitch of work done till you don't have this attitude. But of course, that is not then. Hazrat explained to him. So anyway, Al-Maulana, Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he explained when the people told him that if we adopt your teachings and we are soft and kind all the time, everyone will take advantage of us. What a beautiful answer Hazrat gave. He said that, when did I say you must not put the right, you must not put the wrong right? I never said that just be soft. You must put the wrong right, but put the wrong right in the right way also. Don't use the wrong way, because in that you cause more damage. And not for your immediate damage is not to other people. Damage to yourself. You damage your own emotions, your own feelings, you become upset, you feel miserable now. And many times a person afterwards feels sorry how he reacted there. And now you have to go and ask for forgiveness also. Now you're feeling bad about that also, that why did I react in that way? Why did I use that language? And this happens on a regular basis, whether it's between husband and wife, whether it is between friends, whether it is anywhere. And also in all situations, we must always, if we want to solve a problem, remember Shaitan is also doing his work. And he is also whispering things which nobody said. Then you tell the person, but you said this. He said, I never said that. But he told me you said that. You can ask him. He said, I never said that. Shaitan whispers in between also. And he makes a situation even more worse. So a person must be very, very careful. And always they and he. Who are that mysterious they and he? That is Shaitan. They are the ones who bring about this. So we have to be very, very careful that they cause more mischief unnecessarily. And they make a situation which was just normal. They make it so volatile. And they make it so bad. That is Shaitan. And when our nafs also supports now. And we also became angry. And we also started saying things, etc. So, Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali explained that when somebody has done something wrong, the first and foremost thing is control your anger. If you are in an angry situation, according to Shariat, it is not permissible for a father also to punish his children when he is angry. Because when you are angry, you are not in your right sense. You are doing like a person who is under the influence of liquor. That person, he's not in his right sense. He will make a lot of wrong decisions, judgments. He will speak wrongly. Anger is even worse than being under the influence of liquor. How many, in fact, somebody told Shaitan that why are you causing all this havoc in the world and all this trouble, murders, killings, fights, wars, to the extent of riots and wars and breaking up of homes and what you aren't you causing? So he says, I don't do all this. He says, no, you are the one who causes all this. You make all this. Shaitan say, all I do, for example, is that I just put a drop of syrup on the wall. And I, according to our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, he used to say that Shaitan is a very busy man. He hasn't got his lot of time to spend on one person. He wants to make the whole world, he wants to mislead them. So he hasn't got time to spoil one person. Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said it, whenever you find a desire of committing a guna, now is that desire brought in you by nafs or is it by Shaitan? How will you know which is it? Whether Shaitan has brought this desire or nafs has brought this desire? So Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says, if the thought came once to you, and then again it didn't come, no, that is from Shaitan. Because Shaitan hasn't got time to tell you over and over. But if a thought of committing a guna or anything wrong comes over and over again, no, that is from nafs. Because nafs is what everyone has got his nafs. And nafs will tell you all the time, do this, do that. You explain to nafs, I'm not going to do it. It's out of the question. I'll never do it. Nafs will come in another way and tell you again to do it. So that is nafs. And also our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, what uloom Allah had blessed our Shaykh with, that he said, which is the bigger enemy? Shaytan declares, Allah declares, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. He is an open enemy. And nafs is a hidden enemy. Nafs is the enemy from inside. And shaitan is an enemy from outside. From outside you can lock your doors, you can put your burglar bars and everything. But the enemy that is in the house, the snake that is under your pillow, that is in your bed, how dangerous is that snake compared to the snake which is in the garden, which is outside? So shaitan, nafs, and who made shaitan go astray? Not another shaitan came to make shaitan go astray. It was shaitan's nafs that made him go astray. So this all, and shaitan, one thing we must remember, one of his peculiar and particular qualities is his anger, his ego and his anger that he has got. And it was this, that anger and his ego, that he refused the command of Allah Ta'ala. He looked at who Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was. He did not look at the command of Allah. He did not submit and go down in front of the command of Allah Ta'ala. He looked at who Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was. So here also, the first thing is, a person must be in control of himself. And how will a person know, physically, practically, whether he's in control of himself? Like that we all would like to believe and would like to say that I'm fully in control of myself at this time. But your language will give you away. Your tone will give you away. And you must judge yourself that have you raised your voice. And what the use of the words will tell you also. And your body language also, which goes on further, that a person starts pointing fingers also. And a person uses his hand. And then perhaps if it is even worse, may Allah protect us, he will even land a punch or something. He will go further also. He might even pull out a firearm. He might even pull the trigger. And what can happen? Like that, let me complete that. What that one shaitan said, I only put a drop of syrup on the wall. That's all, and I carry on. So then, what happens after that? A fly sees the syrup and it goes and it likes sweet things. So the fly starts licking on the syrup. And then what happens? The lizard sees the fly. And the fly is the food for the lizard. So the lizard goes for the fly. The lizard is food for the cat. And the cat goes now and wants to catch the lizard. It catches the lizard. Dogs and cats are always at war with one another. The dog sees this and the dog goes for the cat. Your dog and your neighbor's dog, they are also always fighting. So the two dogs start fighting. When the two neighbors' dogs start fighting, the two neighbors, Ashraful Makhluqat, they start fighting over the dogs. And the dogs are fighting over the cat. And the cat is fighting over the lizard. And the lizard is fighting over the fly. And the fly was just licking the little bit of syrup that was on the wall. Now when these two neighbors start fighting, one pulls out a firearm and he pulls the trigger. One person is lying dead. Police are now on the scene. The other person is now arrested. He is in jail. Now there is going to be a court case which will last 2 years, 5 years or whatever else it might be. That family lost their breadwinner. The person is lying dead. Now all the preparation for the funeral and that, one breadwinner is lost. And on this side, this person is in jail. And for how long till the case? And then if he's found guilty and sentenced, 10 years imprisonment, 20 years imprisonment, they have lost their breadwinner. All this from one drop of syrup. Okay? So this is how shaitan works. That just he makes one little thing to come out. And shaitan works even more. The big shaitans are chained, according to some muhaddithin. The small ones are around. Or the habit shaitan gave us throughout the year, that habit has rubbed off onto us. And now still we have got that habit. Now we start to, we have that argument. And it comes also that when adhan goes, shaitan runs away very far. But namaz time, he comes back again. And he starts spoiling the namazes of people. So anyway, this anger is a thing that a person has to learn to control. Anger control is a major thing. And a person, and the hadith has taught it, if we have come up, if you are standing, sit down. If you are sitting, lay down. If you are going to make wudu, go away from that, let that person on whom your anger is coming out, let him be removed, etc. So the next thing after that is, after your anger, your language. Don't use vulgar language. Don't use obscene language. Don't use words that you are not supposed to be using. In fact, unfortunately or fortunately, whatever the case may be, the position which we are in, many complaints come to us of people, and sometimes the children complain of the parents, sometimes the wife complains of the husband, husband complains of the wife, and we have to face this. And so some of the complaints that come, the language that is used, it's unbelievable. Sometimes they even record the person and they send the clipping. Till today I never heard it. We haven't got time for all that. But what we can make out, sometimes they quote of that. And it seems that I hope there isn't a language of swear words. But if there was, it looks like even a dictionary of swear words. If there was, I think that dictionary won't even have the swear words when this person is angry, and what words they say he uses. How? You can't believe it and you can't reconcile it. Well, what the person you know, and he's such a sweet person, and you would even swear that he wouldn't hurt a fly. He's such a person, he wouldn't hurt a fly. But in those circumstances, when the anger is not in control, what language a person uses. And then, in fact, was it a lady or somebody who was also using some bad language? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised the person not to. He said, what do you know who I am? They said, do you know who that was? That was Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. Then you come to your senses. That in front of who? Sometimes we don't see it's the month of Ramadan. How many cases? What language people use in the month of Ramadan? And all just because that hunger little bit has overtaken them. Or that sleep of this is not complete. And now that anger overtakes them. They don't see the sanctity of the month of Ramadan. They don't see the sanctity perhaps of the masjid also, of Haram Sharif. One time in the Haram of Mecca, not in the Haram Sharif, outside, at a food outlet, one person who had become so angry, it was unbelievable what words he was using on that on the person who was serving him. And what curses he was giving him, right in Makkah Sharif, right at the Haram. And but this person was he was angry about something, and how he was carrying on and behaving, and what language, and what curses. But many times we say, may Allah save us all, but some pain, some loss we suffer, we say, may my worst enemy also not have such pain. But at such times, you will wish it on your own immediate people also. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written in detail that sometimes a mother curses her own children also in that anger of hers. And afterwards, and there are certain moments, and the month of Ramadan, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written, is replete with so many occasions. When whatever just comes out of the mouth, Allah accepts it readily. And now you have to suffer the consequences all the time. So therefore, we should be very careful. One is that anger to control it. Second is the language that we use, etc. The third thing Hazrat said, the person who has done wrong, he might be your very junior, he might be your equal, he might be even your senior, whoever, who has upset you, let him understand that he has done wrong. If we tell he doesn't know, your junior doesn't know he has done wrong, which is in many cases it happens in the family or in a husband-wife situation. You normally would like your tea to, at the end of the meal, you want it nice and hot. Now the wife, she had to go and do some other work, so she gave you your tea in the middle of your meal, right, the beginning of your meal. And that other work she was going to do was your work she was going to do. You were going for a shower, so she was going to put your clothes in the bathroom for you, and now she put your tea before time. Now you became very angry. You know, I want my tea at the end of the meal. My tea, I want it hot always. And now you don't ask her that why did you give it to me at the beginning. You don't understand this. This misunderstandings happen all the time also. and a person loses his temper and he becomes angry. So understand, try and for this, as a famous saying is, that when you want to bring up children, it is not sweat you have to, in bringing them up, it is blood you have to make into water, you have to turn your blood into water. Then you can bring up children. It's not a matter of just swearing and shouting and some rules and regulations. Those things don't work. It takes time to explain to a person. And when you have done that, otherwise the condition is where we want to use force and we want to use the iron fist. Those things only last in front of you, even if you have got authority. And when you are not there, those people in their anger will do worse against your commands and your rules than what you, than, when you are not present. They will go, that anger builds up in a human being. And the workers, they will do much worse things. And we hear these cases which turn out into big, big riots then. When a person in a state of anger, he went and do something. Whatever it might be, you got so angry and you locked up the person who did wrong. He did wrong, but you locked him up in a deep freeze, in this cold winter. And now the consequences of this and the repercussions of this go so wide then. So all this is because we did not control that situation. And we don't, we hear what our buzurg say, but we don't make amal on it. Which is just for hearing, it is not for amal. Otherwise, these are all the advices of our buzurgs. So Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, make the person understand, and you need time for that. And we haven't got time for ourselves today. We haven't got time for any person. So we just want to give one shout and things must come right. It never happens like that. And this is in everything else also. We've got a terribly wrong lifestyle. All wrong things we are doing in our life. Now, when the repercussion of that comes, whatever the case might be, an illness maybe, financial loss, accident happening, may Allah save us. Now, after trying many other things, now we are going for ta'weez. That ta'weez will put everything right. We won't want to put our lives right. That one ta'weez must put everything right. And all our problems must come to an end with one ta'weez. It doesn't work like that. Or to understand it in another way, our Islam is not a Christian way of religion. That you just Sunday you go to church, the whole week you are free. Or you just believe that, na'uzubillah, what a wrong belief, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for, and so I just believe in Jesus Christ. He died for all my sins. So what is the natija, the analysis of this, that somebody else commits sin and somebody else goes to jail for it and pays for it. That poor Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, according to their wrong belief, he died for our sins on the cross. So all you do, you believe in him and then you are free. And he paid for your sins. It's not our way is not like that. Or like many of us, a few big nights in Islam. We just observe those big nights and you set. But the best or rest of the time you can do what you want to. No, we have to correct ourselves for all times. So yeah, also our language and it takes this time to correct all these things. So this is very necessary. And then after that, explain to the person how to do that wrong thing which he did, how to do it the right way. If you have done that, you have won one disciple, a real murid in a true sense of the word. You have won a student. You haven't just put one thing right, he is going to perpetuate your teachings to other people. And if you just shouted, he didn't understand. And he said, the old man has lost it again. He's again, he looks like he had an argument at home and he's taking it out here with us. All such remarks. And what was supposed to come right doesn't come right. So therefore, we must be very, very careful of all these situations, of how we handle situations. And shaitan will work. And from when we were small, we knew it was a common thing and we expected it every year. Ramzan, the first few nights, there must be arguments and fights in the masjid. Whether it is about somebody opening the window, somebody closing the window. Somebody putting the fan on, and before that, about the sighting of the moon. And they forced imams to come and make tarawih. When the imam is convinced the moon has not been sighted, they forced an imam to come and make Eid namaz. And he's convinced it's Ramzan. He's got roza, but they forced him to come and make Eid namaz. So all these things here, all happened because we don't handle the situation correctly. So therefore, this is very, so that was beginning of the Ramzan used to happen. And towards the end again, we accumulated. Well, alhamdulillah, Allah gave us tawfiq. We were making ibadat. Everything was going smooth. And one, the shaitan will come and put one shosha. One little problem in your way, and there you start losing everything. So we have to handle things very, very carefully. And also, it comes in the Hadith Sharif. If there is an argument, there is a matter, a dispute, not necessarily an argument, and you are in the right, and you know you are in the right. But just to avoid everything, you just make sabr and you let it go. Allah will build a special palace for you. In different riwayat, it comes different places, but Allah will build a special palace for you. And we are taught in Roza, inni mru'un sa'imun. Somebody wants to pick up an argument. You didn't pick up the argument. Somebody else pick it up. Then you tell the person, I'm fasting, I haven't got time for this. And what does a fast really mean? I've got tilawat to do, I've got zikr to do, I've got this to do. Or you remind yourself in your heart that I'm a fasting person, it does not behove me for a fasting person to behave in this way. So may Allah Ta'ala save us from all such situations, and they will arise. And at that time, that we handle them properly. That we don't go out of our limits and bounds. And also this stems from further, that if there is something wrong, it comes in a hadith very clearly, مَرَّعَ مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا. If you see something wrong being done, فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِي. Use your hand to stop it. If you have that power, which is normally, the government has the power, an Islamic government. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَطِي فَبِلِسَانِي. And if you can't, then speak with your tongue, explain it. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَطِي فَبِقَلْبِ. Then with your heart you should do it. And with the heart, you have to change that situation. Now how are you going to change? One is, commonly the ulama give the meaning, at least realize this thing which is being done is the wrong thing. But فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ. Change it. And now you have to change it with your heart. Not only that you understand it is wrong. So how are you going to change it? That is, think of ways and means how you can correct this wrong without making the situation worse. You wanted to sort out a problem, don't make it worse. How are you going to think of a way? The other فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِي. The heart is the dua, place of dua. And we turn to Allah. The real controller of situations is Allah. In such situations, our children did something wrong. The worker did something wrong. The wife did something wrong. Ask ourselves, did we ever turn to dua and ask Allah that, Ya Allah, you correct this year. And this year is wrong what this person is doing. It's not right. Oh Allah, you please, you correct it. Did we ever turn to Allah Ta'ala? That is what we have to do in whatever situation. And this is which Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to stress a lot, and Haji Ahmed Nakhuda Sahab, Ahmed Barakatum, also stresses a lot on it, Muraqabah Dua. Did we even just make a cursory dua for it? Forget a serious dua. And dua is a serious matter. And a person should really devote himself to dua. Then he will get it right. So may Allah help us in all such situations throughout. And Ramzan is the training ground and the practicing time to bring this within us so that we can take it out from the masjid. Just like your car goes for servicing to the garage, workshop, and there on the machines, the wheel alignment 100%. Everything else, if the machines are showing, it has been set. Everything is 100%. But the car is not going to stay in the workshop. The car is going to be used now outside. It's going to be used on the wonderful freeways. Just the new freeway that has been built. It's going to be used on the side roads also. It will be used on corrugated roads. It will be used on the in the driveways. It will be used over stones. Sometimes you have to drive also. Everywhere the car will be used. Just like that, Ramzan is the workshop. We have come here to correct ourselves. Now we're not going to stay in a workshop situation our whole life. As soon as Eid is here, and like this year's Eid seems to be confirmed, I'm sure by Maghrib the tents are all down already. And the bags are packed already. Everyone is ready to go home. Now your first usage of your vehicle which was now, which you had it, service. And you did a major overall. For those who stayed for 40 days, 30 days service, the first thing is when you're going home or just out of the masjid already, now your eyes are going to fall on other women. There you are, you're going to face a situation even if you're not driving and somebody else just cuts in front of you. Hey, with this car, now you can't control yourself. How many people are such, they start swearing there. And the swearing habit also, people who are of that mentality, they more in the swearing. Like a person working on his car, for example, a carpenter, a motor mechanic, and something is not coming right, how he swears the mother of the tool. What has the tool got to do with it? And the poor mother, the tool hasn't got a mother. And what part of the mother also he swears? All this just because that anger is not under control. So we came for service, and then we go out, and now we do all this. So now don't blame the mechanic that he didn't, the workshop, you came, he put your machines up and you came everything 100%. And if in the workshop also we not complying, and the machine, we just don't want to come right, how are we going to come right outside? You will have to work everywhere, or you are going to be with your family, you are going to be with your children, you are going to your masjid. There you got an attitude that I spent 40 days, I'm a big buzurg or something, and nobody is even making salam. One brother one time, he went somewhere, he came back, and he complained to somebody about me, that he said, I didn't even make him salam. I didn't even notice that he was gone. I didn't know his absence for that period. So, sometimes nobody noticed you were gone also, that he was gone. You didn't go and meet the person or anything. Now, if you are becoming upset, it shows that you have got something that you want people must come and show their respects to you. See, people must come and praise you, etc. So that is not a fault of that person. That is a fault which you have got. So this we have to see. May Allah Ta'ala make our islah in every way. Islah is not just on one front. Not just that we are with our namazas, our tahajjud, our ibadat, our zikr, but our akhlaq. We are doing the kitab on social etiquette, and all the time we are mixing with other people, whether it is at home, whether it is it is more closer. We are in the masjid, in the tents, in the masjid, etc. In fact, one brother brought it to my attention, those who can manage, very good, those people who are sleeping in the tents, and the head is on the, facing the qibla, on your, the left side. Facing the qibla on the left, so that you will, when you sleep on your right side, you will be facing qibla. But if your pillow is on the other side, then when you want to sleep on your right side, your back will be towards qibla. So if you want to, it will be very good that you take the trouble of you put your pillow the other side and you sleep facing the qibla when you're on your right side. The whole night of yours will go in ibadah. May Allah reward the brother. He also brought it to our notice that the mattresses that were being put, the plastic that was covering the mattress, had the picture of an elephant. So alhamdulillah, he brought it to our notice. We informed the satis, they removed those plastics. Otherwise, in the masjid, we are bringing photos also. And that is being done by the intizam for i'tikaf. We just little bit ghaflat. Ghaflat destroys a person. Just to give you an example of this ghaflat, for example, you are getting special visitors at home, and they are very special to you. You want to give them hot samosas when they come. So you got the frying pan on the stove, and the oil you have put in, nice sizzling hot, but you are not putting your samosas in to fry them. You are waiting till they come. And as soon as you can hear the commotion, salams being made, car doors being opened, closed, now they have arrived. And now you want to start putting the samosas. But this little ghaflat, unmindfulness, the handle of the frying pan was sticking out of from the stove. And a two-year-old child that was playing there caught hold of the handle and pulled it down. What disaster. What was going to be a happy occasion, your very dear friends, family, and you had prepared what, and you wanted to give them the most best welcome, everything is spoiled. Just that ghaflat of that few seconds. That nobody noticed this mistake here, and the child playing there, and what disaster it causes. Wallah, in deen, ghaflat causes more disaster than that, than what this in dunya it causes. So how a person has to be on your nafs. Maulana Muhammad Ahmed Sahib Pratap Dari Rahmatullah Ali used to say in a beautiful poem that constantly a person must be watching his nafs all the time. Where the nafs misleads you, and that little bit ghaflat that comes. You are driving your car, you got your cell phone, ghaflat. You are not supposed to be using your cell phone. Now you're looking at it, you had a safe distance from the car in front of you. Everything normal, traffic is moving smoothly, everything. The car in front, that car had to give a sharp brake for some reason, which had a ripple effect on all. The next worst thing you come to know, you are in the car in front of you. Or you are almost in that car. It wasn't your fault, it wasn't his fault. This happened 2-3 cars in front. But you are unmindful, you are on your cell phone, or you were looking around, or you were looking for something at the bottom, suddenly this happened. So may Allah save us from this ghaflat. A mu'min has to be all the time alert. All the time we have to be alert. May Allah give us tawfiq. The one thing that I wish to mention, which one youngster brought to my notice also, and which I didn't notice also, just imagine, we are here all the time, but you don't notice it. Many, many of our mu'takifin are young boys, young men, mashallah, which is a very good sign. And also then, when he told, and I'm looking now, I see they are quite serious also. They are in the programs, they are listening, attend. Usually this happens when a person is 60, 70, 50, old. Then now he's become serious. But there are many, many young people, mashallah, who are very serious, which is a very good sign that at this age that we are making our niyat for itikaf, may Allah accept, inshallah. And I will appeal to these young boys, wherever they are, if they haven't started hifz, it looks like also when we were reading Yasin Sharif, I took the trouble to notice, I saw many of them just reading off by heart, which gives me the indication that inshallah they are all hafiz of Quran also. Further, become alims also. Don't just leave it at your hifz. Many students who go to universities, etc. In fact, one friend of mine brought this very, very, very worrying point to mind. That many of our youngsters study psychology at varsity. And psychology and philosophy are brothers and sisters of one another. Though I don't think everyone studies philosophy, but psychology, you go in the school career, you have to study psychology in many things. And he said that the first chapter in one of the major textbooks that is taught at varsity is that, have we created God or did God create us? In other words, they don't believe, and just also think, they didn't say first, did we create God? Did God create us? They didn't put that first. They put first, have we created God? In other words, na'uzu billah, Allah doesn't exist, it's just in our imagination. That there is one Allah and He's in control, etc. And that is just the heading which gives you that doubt. And in one country, how many huffaz who went to university, they got these doubts and they gave up Islam. And na'uzu billah, may Allah save us. So these things are, so these young boys who have come here, Mubarak, and most ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaba. And if you are not hafiz, become hafiz. If you are hafiz, become alim. So that we understand the meaning of the Quran. And not only for our own sake that we practice, but then take this message and give it out to the people of the world. And we come here to the Darul Uloom, learn here, stay in an environment of deen, bring these things within us, and then inshallah we try and spread it to other people also. So this is also where it's a very good and encouraging thing. Let us try and take maximum benefit from it. We know it is the school holidays also, which is also adds to the people are free, manage to come, madrasa holidays, many ustads can also come, otherwise normally if you are occupied in Ramadan, it's difficult. So may Allah Ta'ala, and the ibadat of a youth, how great isn't it? I'll just try and complete on this. Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Ali, when he was still studying, very poor, where he was studying in Baghdad, and for his food, he should go to the riverside, and twigs and branches and leaves, he should take, boil them, and that was his food. We can't imagine it today. It's out of the question. We can't imagine. One occasion he went, and other two people were quarreling there about the little tweaks. Other people's condition was also. So he said, where there's a quarrel and a fight, I don't want to be involved there. He went to the bazaar where they sell fruit, vegetable, and towards the end of the day, the leftovers are left. Some leaves, beetroot leaves are left. Some carrot leaves are left. That they used to take and boil, and they used to eat that. And they used to live on that. And can we imagine that? We can't. There also there was nothing. He went and sat in the masjid. Now he pangs of hunger. That just that boiled water of that leaves, that also he didn't have. Now that pangs of hunger are hitting him. Then he smells wonderful meat and roti, fresh baked roti. He looks, there is a person who is eating. So that person saw him, he told him, come and eat. Well, he refused. At such a state, who will refuse? It's even permissible to go and ask it. According to Sharia, to go and ask that person is even permissible in such a condition. But just imagine that how they control themselves. This is only for inspiration. We can't follow in their footsteps. We can't copy, but at least we get some inspiration. So that person told him, come and eat with me. He refused. Because he felt now, this is now ishraq. That from my heart he's going to offer me. That person took qasam on him, that by Allah I say you must come and eat. And it comes in a hadith, somebody takes a qasam for you, fulfill that qasam of you. Then still he didn't go. Again, then he went and he just ate a little. Otherwise we will say, then you went and freed. When you were so hungry, and now you're getting wonderful meat like that, and hot roti. You'll go to town, you won't care for anyone. But that also he just ate a little. Then he asked him, from where are you coming? So he says, I'm from Jailan. So he said, I'm also from Jailan. So he said that, do you know a person? I'm looking for him everywhere by the name of Abdul Qadir. He said, I'm Abdul Qadir. So he says, your mother has given me 7-8 guineas, gold coins to give to you. And I came, and on the way, I also suffered with so much hunger. And I had no choice, but I used your money in order to buy this. So actually it's your da'wat for me, not my da'wat for you. I haven't invited you. It's your money. So then he gave him that money and that. And then he, just imagine, these were who it is told who are superior than the malaika also. Then the Sheikh Abdul Qadir, a young boy at that time, he told that person, that you gave him the money and he gave him some more money. You're also a needy person. Imagine, he has to spend his whole life in studying stuff. That was when he became Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah. And what a great scholar. And the world acknowledges him, besides those people who are blind and those people who do not can't discern the truth from the falsehood. Otherwise, what? Our buzurgs, they quote him one way. And they follow his teachings. In Indonesia, in the Alim cause, his kitabs are the textbooks in the Alim cause. They are teaching. So this is when all this qurbani was made, which we can't dream about, we can't think about. But just to keep our minds a bit in order, let us think that what these people were. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.